for his business, and he had never flown before, and he was very nervous about this. He was worried about the plane, and to boot, it was raining hard outside. And so as he walked around the airport, he saw this machine that said, "Buy insurance for your flight." And it was only $3. And if anything happened to you, you'd paid $100,000. So he said, "Man, you know what? That sounds like a good deal. If for some reason I go down, at least my family has this money." So he paid for the coverage. And then he was feeling hungry. His flight wasn't for a while. So he looked around, and there was a Chinese restaurant in the airport. So he said, "You know what? I'm going to get a little bit to eat, and I'm going to go there and get a meal." So as he finished up the meal, he was kind of relaxing a little bit, and then they brought the fortune cookie. And the fortune, he opened it up, and it said, "Your recent investment will pay big dividends." So he had a real reason to worry, didn't he? What are you worried about today? You know, people worry about money, they worry about the future, they worry about their jobs, they worry about their relationships, we worry about health. We worry about a lot of things, but here in the scripture, Jesus is saying, "Listen to me. God wants you to stop worrying and trust Him to secure your future." Read in chapter 6 here. We're going to read 25 to 34. I know that seems like a big section, but it's a very good one. As Jesus speaks to the people there, he says in verse 25, "Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns. Your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, 'What will we eat?' or 'What will we drink?' or 'What will we wear?' For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." Let's pray for a minute. Lord, help us as we look at these words to understand them and to use them in our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, the first part of this I call facing the monster of worry. Because, you know, I think that a lot of us have stayed up late at night, you know, kind of chewing our fingernails. And we have been worried about maybe the things are slowed down on the job. We might not have that next year, or finances are close, or we've been sick, and what are we going to do about all that? But in this next slide, it talks about what worry is. And one definition is feeling of uneasiness and apprehension or dread. Have you ever felt that way? Uneasiness, apprehension, dread, what's going to go on? Another one is being anxious about something that does not exist but might exist in the future. That's the big one for us, right? You know, well, it might not happen, but it might happen, and so we begin to worry about what has not yet happened. It's easier to get our minds going in circles about this might happen and that might happen and the other thing might happen. Worriers spend a lot of time speculating about what might happen and then fearing the worst, but Jesus told us three times in this scripture we just read, don't worry. But what did he mean by that? What did he mean by don't worry? I think, number one, it doesn't mean don't prepare for the future. Look at the next slide. It doesn't mean don't prepare for the future. Because I think as we look at the scripture, you know, in Proverbs it talks about preparing for the future. It talks about the lazy person. And it says, you know, he sat there, he laid there in bed, and he didn't get his field ready. And then when it was planting time, he didn't plant. And then when it was harvest time, he said, oh no, I don't have anything to eat. He didn't prepare ahead. The scripture talks about getting ready for the future. It doesn't mean you just lay around and wait for it to come to you. That's not what it means. But it also doesn't mean don't ever be concerned about anything. You know, some people go through life, it's like, hey man, you know, whatever happens, happens. Que sera, sera, and all that foolishness. I don't think we should never, ever be indifferent about the realities of life. When we talk about, you know, taking care of ourselves, your body, you know, your body's something that belongs to God, and you take care of it as a temple of God. And so here in Matthew 6, he's not saying ignore your body and just whatever happens, happens. He's not saying don't be concerned, because we know Jesus was concerned about other people. Several times in the Gospels it talks about he saw the crowd and he thought of them as sheep having no shepherd, and he took care of them. I think you see the Apostle Paul mentioning in 2 Corinthians he had a concern for all the churches. So he doesn't mean don't be concerned, and it doesn't mean don't worry about the future, but I think what Jesus was saying was this. It means don't get bent out of shape about things you cannot foresee or change. Don't get out of shape about things that you cannot foresee or change. You say, what does that mean? Well, you don't know that you're going to be sick next week, right? Or next month or next year. So why worry? Oh no, I might get sick. I might not be able to work. I might not be able to pay my bills. I might. That's just adding to things that we don't need to think about. But if you are taking care of your body, and if you're working hard, if you're, you know, keeping up with your job and not sloughing off so the boss fires you, then you can usually say, okay, I'm pretty sure that I'm going to have those things. I'm going to trust God to take care of me. You know, the prayer of tranquility is used, I think, in AA a lot, but it was not AA that invented it. Look at this, look at the next slide where it talks about it. Prayer of tranquility says, God, oops, I got ahead of myself. I'm making you get ahead of me. Sorry, Michael. Prayer of tranquility says, God, grant me the sincerity to accept the things I cannot change. Change the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. And that, if you follow that, I think you'll get rid of a lot of worry in your life, right? God, grant me the sincerity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. There's no use worrying about things you can't change. Or you're worried about who's going to be the next president? Well, you can vote. That's the only thing you can do to change it, right? You're sorry. You can't rig the machines to vote for the guy you think should be the president. But you can do your job. You can vote. Now, how do we fight the monster of worry? You already got a hint up there. Worry and wrong priorities are directly related. Look at Matthew 6, 24 and 25. Matthew 6, 24 and 25. We just read those. He says this. No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. And so if you make money your master, what are you going to be worried about? Money, 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 money. I've read stories about old houses that were destroyed after the owner died in them. in one particular story, this old man that lived on cat food. He would go to the store and buy cat food every day. And that's what he lived on. And yet when they destroyed his old home, they found thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars stuffed in his wall, in cracks in his wall. So this man was saving for the future, but he never realized the future was now. He needed to get that stuff out of the cracks in the wall, right? And so if you make your wrong priorities money rather than God, you're going to have the wrong kind of, you're going to have worries. Look at the 25. Therefore, I tell you, see, this is only a continuation of 24. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? So what he's saying here is if you put your priorities in the wrong place, you're going to worry about the wrong things. We can ask ourselves this question: am I doing what God wants me to do? Am I living for material things or for God? Am I doing what God wants me to do? And the truth is, if I'm doing what God wants and living for the right things, I have God's provision and protection. Look at 6:33 that we read a while ago. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So what's he saying? If you're living for the right things, if you're doing what you're supposed to do, then you don't have to worry about any of that. If you're serving God, if you're obeying God, if you're living for God, God gives us this promise right here. We will have what we need. We will have what we need if we're living for Him. Then I want to remind you something. Remember who your Father is. Remember who your Father is. I'm going to turn this heater down up where it's cooler. Because I don't know about y'all, but I'm sweating. I knew I shouldn't have wore long sleeves today. Huh?
Sweat the sin out of
me. Sweat the sin out of me? Well, I don't know what you think about me, but... Okay. Remember who your Father is. Now, as you go to that next slide, we need to remind ourselves who our God is, who our Heavenly Father is. Number one, He's all-loving. He cares what happens to you. Look at Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, and you're looking at verses 37 through 39. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and then John, Acts, and then Romans. Romans chapter 8. And we're looking, starting at verse 37. Romans 8:37 says this. Well, let's go back a little bit, because you know I love these verses. As we go back verse 31. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also, along with Him, graciously give us all things? 33. Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? Is it God who justifies? Who is He that condemns? Christ Jesus, who was raised from the dead, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble, or hardship, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to the slaughter. Verse 37, no, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. He's saying we're God's children, and God loves us. He cares about us. He cares what happens to us. Verse 38, for I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present or the future, nor any powers, neither height or depth, or anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Your Heavenly Father loves you. He cares about you. He knows your needs. as he said there in Matthew 6. And as we obey him and serve him, those needs are taken care of. Even the emotional needs that we have that we can commit to him. He's not only all-loving, he's all-knowing. He already knows what it will happen, and he's got you. Romans 8:28 talks about that. And then turn to Jeremiah 29:11. I love this verse. Jeremiah 29:11. Jeremiah 29:11 is written to the Israelites when they had been disobedient. God took them out of their country, and they're in a foreign land, and they're mourning over that. They're mourning over their sin, and God has Jeremiah the prophet tell them this. Jeremiah 29:11. You might want to mark this one in your Bible and go back to it. Because he says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." You hear what he's saying? And then he goes on to say, next verse, "If you call me, if you talk to me, if you pray to me, I'll take care of you." And so when you talk about that, our God is not only all-loving, he's all-knowing. He knows what's ahead, and he's got you. He's not surprised by what's going to happen to you. He's not surprised when you get sick. He's not surprised when that job goes out. And so he has plans for your future, and his plans are to, as his child, to take care of you. The third thing there, he's all-powerful. And because he's all-powerful, he can take care of anything that might seek to harm you. Go back to the Psalms. Read over and over the Psalms of David, where he's being pursued, first of all, by King Saul to kill him, and then by his own son Absalom. Over and over he says, "Heavenly Father, you are the all-powerful one, and I know that nothing can touch me, that you have not been surprised, and you will protect me because I love you and I am serving you." That's pretty powerful. I ran across something, and I don't know who wrote it, but it's entitled, "Faint Not, Fret Not, Faint Not, Fear Not." Look at this, what it says. "Fret not, he loves you." We just read about that. "Faint not, he holds you." John 10:28-30, somebody was talking about that Wednesday night. It says that those are his, he has in his hand, and the hand of God the Father is over it. And he says, "No one can take them out of my Father's hand." If you're in the hand of God, why worry? Fret not, faint not, and then fear not. Psalm 121:5, he talks about the fact that I will not fear because you have me. You're protecting me. Now, next time you're worried about this, try to go through these. In fact, take these, and you might want to memorize these scripture and repeat them. Go over them. I encourage you to memorize them. So review your priorities. If your priorities are right, if you're serving God, remember who your Father is. And the third thing is rely on God. My sister had a little thing on her refrigerator. It said, "Frog, fully rely on God." And that helps you to remember, "Frog, fully rely on God." Number one is to admit your needs. Remember back in Philippians 4:6. We read that a while back. Look at Philippians 4:6. Ephesians and then Philippians. Philippians 4:6. It says, "Do not be anxious for anything." Not most things, just anything. "But in everything, little or big." You know, sometimes we think, well, I don't need to pray about this little thing. You know, I can take care of that. But it says everything. "By prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. So what's he saying? Rely on God, admit your need. Sometimes we have so much pride, we don't even want to admit our need to God. Is that right? Sometimes I hear that somebody had been in the hospital and they didn't tell anybody. And I said, why didn't you tell us we'd be prayed for? Well, I didn't want to bother anybody. Usually it's our pride. I don't want anybody to know I need something. I don't need any charity, right? Pride says I can do it on my own. Right? Faith says, Lord, I need you, like we sang in that song. Lord, I need you. Lord, I need you. This may seem small now, but it may become big. Isn't that the way things start out? You know, something all of a sudden is big. It was just a little tiny thing. And all of a sudden I turned around and boom, it's big. Lord, I need you. I've been praying that a lot lately, haven't you? Lord, I need you. Lord, I need you. I don't know what to do. But you do, and I know you've got a hold of me, and you're my God. You'll take care of me. Admit your need. Ask God for help. That's the second part of that verse. Give him all your prayers and petitions. Tell God what you're worried about. Have you ever waken up in the middle of the night and there's something on your mind, it's just in there, and you dream about it, you wake up and you're thinking about it, and you try to go back to sleep and it still comes back? None of you ever do that, right? Only me? Huh? Tell God what you're worried about. Admit it. And then ask him for that help. And just say to him, I don't have the ability to take care of it. Look at Psalm 62. Psalm 62, verses 6 to 8. This is a good example of the way King David prayed. Psalm 62, and we're looking at verses 5 through 8. Psalm 62, 5 through 8. I'm starting at the beginning. This is a beautiful psalm. I usually say when you're really troubled about things, open up the Psalms, and they got some great stuff. Look at Psalm 62:1. My soul finds rest in God alone. My salvation comes from him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will never be shaken. How long will you assault a man? Would all of you throw him down, this leaning wall, this tottering fence? They fully intend to topple him from his lofty place. They take delight in lies. With their mouths they bless, but with their hearts they curse. He's talking about his enemies going against him. And then verse 5. Find rest, O my soul, in God alone. My hope comes from him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will not be shaken. My salvation and my honor depend on God. He is my mighty rock, my refuge. Trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your hearts to him, for God is our refuge. Isn't that beautiful? Amen. He cares about what happens to you. He loves you. He knows it. He's all powerful. Admit your need. Ask for God's help. Take your burdens to him and leave them there. He's strong enough to carry them. Number 3 there. Apply your mind to the right things. Apply your mind to the right things. Philippians 4:8. After what we said a while ago, remember? We talked about that some time back. In verse 7 it says, "And the peace of God," after you've presented your petitions, requests to God, "and the peace of God will that transcends all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things." Now look at the result. "Whatever you have heard or received, or whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it to practice. And then look at that last phrase in 9, and the peace of God will be with you. See, it's more than just finding something to get your mind off of it. And people do that in various ways, right? Drugs, sex, whatever, things. If I don't think about it, it won't happen. No, that's not the way to do it. Bring it to God. Let Him know about it. And then fill your mind, apply your mind to the right things. Fill your mind with the right diet, and your worries will be overcome by faith. I like what George Mueller said. He was a great man of faith. He had all these orphanages in England, and he prayed. He was a tremendous prayer, and he said this: the beginning of anxiety is the end of faith. Think about it. The beginning of anxiety is the end of faith. It says, my God can't take care of me. But look at the last part. And the beginning of true faith is the end of anxiety. He can bring peace as we give it to Him. Now, God wants you to stop worrying and trust Him with your future. The first thing, of course, that we have to be concerned about, and the most important thing, is where we're going to spend eternity. And if you don't know that, you need to take care of that first. You're a sinner like the rest of us. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It also says that the wages of sin is death. That if we try to please God with all that sin on us, we can't do it. We have to trust Christ as our Savior. It says He gave His Son to die for our sins. He paid for our sins. And he offers us a free gift of salvation. As you think about that, take care, number one, of eternity first. Jesus said in another sermon, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? You can have all you need and want in life and not go to heaven. Trust Christ today. And if you're already a believer, let's give Him those worries and trust Him with those things. Let's bow together today. If you've never trusted Christ, would you trust Christ today? You might want to pray a prayer like this. Heavenly Father, I know I'm a sinner, and I know my sin will never let me get to heaven. But I know that Christ died in my place and paid for my sins. And right now, today, I'm trusting You instead of me. I'm asking You to forgive my sins and make me Yours. Do that first. And if there are worries, if there are concerns, if there are things that are eating at you, take those things right now to God. You've been thinking about them while we've been talking here. Let's stop silently and let's commit individually those things to God. Let's pray for a minute.